I will talk to a crowd of 2,000 at the drop of a hat, won't even think anything of it. And I know for some of you, you're like, oh, please don't ever, ever, ever ask me to do that. But doing anything musical makes me want to cry, makes me so nervous. This is actually the 28th anniversary of me singing my first solo, because it was for a bet I lost in church for Confirmation Sunday. So today is my 28th anniversary of being officially a United Methodist member. And so when Miss Phyllis asked if I would sing, I'm like, God, really? And then he's like, Susie, your sermon, this is what it's about, that I'm gonna call you in your weakness and in your strength. And I want you to answer yes to both, boldly and excitedly. And there are gonna be times you're like, that is my nightmare. And God goes, but I'm still there. And then sometimes you're asked to do the thing you've been waiting and preparing your whole life for. The passion project, something you have been, and he's like, yes! I want you to be like that even when it's hard. When we go into this second letter of Timothy, Wednesday nights at Duncan, we do a community meal. You are always invited to share in that. And then we do a worship that follows. It's more of a contemporary style. And then we go into basketball ministry. So we're really feeding you physically, mentally, and spiritually. And last week, the message I chose to talk about was anger. And that anger isn't wrong. It isn't anger that's evil. It's what we do with it, right? It's kind of like you being happy is not a sin. You being sad is not a sin. This is part of life, that there are ups and downs, and sometimes we get frustrated. And that's where anger comes from. Bitter. The fights that ensue have nothing to do with anyone else. And what I talked about in there, and why bringing it up here, in the Bible, when it tells you you're angry, and Jesus, this is Jesus telling the message of the anger, do not yell raka to your brother or sister. And what that means is you're calling them worthless. Right? That's in that moment when your anger just builds up and we feel we have to be the loudest in the room and the most vicious. When we get in that corner and scared, we shout some of the most hurtful things that we might not even believe. That might be when you yell out, you're empty. That is never God's message to anyone. There is no one you will meet that God doesn't love, that God doesn't have a purpose for, that they don't have something to offer this world. So I want you to kind of have that in the back of your head as we go into the 2 Timothy. It's the first chapter, verses 1 through 14. I want to just put this argument out front that 2 Timothy, we give credit to Paul being the writer. We give this as his credits of probably near his last words. And that's why we put a special emphasis on it, because when somebody is dying and knowing that they are to transition, we feel they put a little extra thought and care and the one that really sits on their heart. That is why it is in the canon. That's why it was chosen. I will also tell you that is the tradition back then. That's how they did tell stories. Sometimes it was not literally from the person, but in the spirit of the person. And I know that that starts to tread on people's toes who are like, but every word of scripture is God-breathed. It is. I believe that, but that there are some backgrounds to that, that it might not be exactly how we were taught or exactly how it was meant, but that's why we are supposed to examine scripture, why we are supposed to wrestle with it. I was not there when this was written. I cannot verify if it was Paul or if it was not. That does not change the importance of the words to me. But I want, if you are doing your different scholars who offer these different proofs why we don't think it's Paul, this isn't the exact phrasing he would have used or the exact thought and intention, I'm okay with that too. Please wrestle with the word. There is scripture you will pick up that the Holy Spirit says, oh, you need this verse in your life, and it convicts you. And that same scripture you could read an hour later, a week later, a year later, 10 years later, and it became a verse of comfort. The Holy Spirit is with you. And when you are reading the Bible, I hope it is the Holy Spirit working with you. I'm going to tell you, there's scripture in here I don't like, and I go back to God and I wrestle with it. God invites those conversations. Now, did you hear? I didn't like it. I didn't say, oh, don't believe it. I'm not in there scribbling it out and changing the word. The first day, what is the Bible? Hello, I've been training my whole life. It is the word of God. Done. And I noticed other people were taking like a whole paragraph to write. And then we sat down for discussion, and this fellow student, I'm like, what is the Bible? And she's like, it is a book of folklore and legends and tales, and goes on and on and on. And I just sat there, like, probably eyes blazing, like, the correct answer is the word of God. But see, we're going to meet people who have different beliefs than us. That doesn't mean they're wrong, and that doesn't mean you're wrong. Sometimes they're not going to mesh. Ours was not meshing. But that doesn't mean we didn't have something we couldn't learn from each other. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be in discussion. God wants us to have those discussions. Amen. When you say you're a Christian, I want you to know why you're a Christian. I want you to have the power of the words behind that, why you believe. Not because of what I told you to believe, not because of what your family said you should believe, but what you believe. Talking to the Holy Spirit, talking with God. Jacob wrestled an angel all night long, and it changed him forever. I want the Bible to change you forever. And sometimes that's going to leave you a little uncomfortable. And that's okay. Because there's going to be days that that Bible is your lifesaver, comfort, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this season, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. My encouragement to you is to go live boldly. And as we talked about in the children's chat, we've heard that word, and it sometimes means different things to different people. Exactly. How you live as a Christian is not maybe how I would live in certain things. That doesn't mean you're wrong. You're living your authentic life. You have experiences that I do not. Amen. You have things that you could teach me, and I have things I can teach you. Because no one is worthless, as we mentioned. Everyone has something to show you, to help you on your journey when you come across them. When you come to church, sometimes you think you're coming to church for you, and I do hope that you get something when you come to worship. It doesn't necessarily come from the sermon. It might not. And they come up to choir, and they'll hit them up 3-4 times, and the choir just continues to share. And that there's a joy when they collect. They feel part of the church. And then you laugh because they were so joyful about it. Sometimes when I ask you for money, you're like, oh, the pastor's asking for money again. Maybe I need a butterfly net and flit around with a big smile. That there should be a joy and a cheerfulness to anything we offer to worship. If singing terrifies you, it's not about you. God loves the song. He loves your voice. He helped make it. And kind of like a proud mama or papa or aunt or neighbor, when you see the kid gets up there who is just doesn't know the words, but they're singing boldly, they're singing proudly. They could be singing Jesus Loves Me and everybody else is singing a different song. And we're the first one to stand up like, that's my baby! Because they get it. That God is just excited about that faith. Sometimes you just giving someone a hug when they enter the door is a gift that they needed. Sometimes you've been praying for someone, and to see them in church, you're like, oh, what a miracle. A celebration because you are here. Because ministry doesn't happen alone, friends. You cannot do ministry alone. And I know some of you are a lone wolf. I know you were like me when they said group project about. Amen. And when we have relationship, we're going to step on each other's toes. Because sometimes we are so excited to show love and show ministry that we're singing Jesus Loves Me and everybody else is like, that's not the song. Okay. We're going to have to learn to compromise. We're going to have to sometimes work together. Sometimes there will be room for both songs. Sometimes we can combine them, and sometimes someone has to let go. And if we've been the one who's let go one too many times, oh, there's that where that bitterness and anger starts to come that we never talked about, right? I always have to give up. Rewind. It would be my pleasure to share in this, but I would really love if maybe we could do my turn one time. Maybe not now, but another time. Because there is a time for everything. We saw that in the wisdom back in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 3. There is a time to laugh and there's a time to mourn. A time to dance and a time to sing. A time to be born and a time to die. And we can be bold in all of those moments. So with Paul, if these are truly his dying words, or what we imagine would be the message he carries home, be a leader. Feel empowered to do ministry. Now I know I missed the a couple Sunday church, so I kind of imagine it was here too. There's no minister today. You are ministers, every one of you. Now, you might not be all preachers, you might not all be teachers, but you are all ministers. You bring something to the world that nobody else can. Amen. That God packaged you to serve a population or a brother or sister that no one else in this room could help. That's your task. That church that I joined 28 years ago, in the bulletin where they list like staff members or the people in the church that you might need to highlight, it said ministers, colon, everyone. So take that title. You are a minister in the world. You have a message to share with others, a testimony that nobody else can share. And it can be with words. Some of us are wordsmiths. It can be with actions. I promise you that one speaks a lot louder to a lot more people. Or it might just be a silent presence. Being there is one of the greatest gifts. I imagine all of us have had a 2 a.m. emergency, whether it be a mental crisis that you just don't feel loved or noticed or acknowledged. Maybe you are in excruciating pain because that's when we need to go to the emergency room. When you're hurting in a way that you can't even describe. And if you've ever had someone you could call in that hour, that's a gift. Not everyone's available. We have a lot of people who offer help up front, but we've learned few will take that call. You could be that call, because I'm sure you've been the person who's needed to make that call. So when I tell you to be bold, it might mean being the loudest in the room. It might be the one taking the attention. It might be the one taking the attention off someone else who can't handle the pressure right then. But sometimes being bold is being the quietest. Sometimes it's the one who's feeling and exuding peace when everybody else is in turmoil and uproar. Maybe it's the person we turn to for wisdom. Well, what do you think of this mess? I think it's a moment to breathe. Being bold is how God created you to be unapologetically. There is no one else who can teach you how to be you. And I know that there's a lot of self-help books. I like a lot of them. I like some of those motivational speakers. But in the end, you have to be the one who stands up and says, "This is who I am." And that's a good person. Don't let a book shame you because that's not your gift. There is a lot of early birds. They're like, oh, they're the ones who are going to be successful who get up at 5 a.m. and do all of their life before 9 a.m. And my night owl people feel like they have to apologize. I get stuff done at 1 a.m. Okay. Good. You found out who you are. Well, the world says I need to be an early bird. You're not of this world.
Amen.
You're here. And you'll have to function. I mean, if you sleep all day, it's going to be hard to get to the post office. I get that. But there's solutions. Maybe you partner up with an early bird. Like, I will pick up your daughter who gets off work at 10 p.m. because you like to be in your jammies and ready for bed at 9:30. Could you run this to the post office? That's that relationship. That's that community. That's working together.
Amen.
Acknowledge who's got what gifts. Let's celebrate that. So when Paul is telling Timothy, "Timothy, I know you're full of the faith. Do you know why I know you're full of the faith? Because I've walked with you. And I knew your mother and grandmother, and I know that's part of you. Maybe that's your gift, that you instill the encouragement and the faith in those to come. That's an important job. It might not be the one that gets the glory, but it's definitely still needed and necessary." And in these words, when it says to be bold, the Holy Spirit didn't tell you, come and be apologetic that you believe in Jesus, money pit, and not give a person a dime. I mean, it'd probably be cool, but then you think about it, money's really disgusting, actually. And it's not easy to swim through coins. And it's a cartoon. And some of us are aspiring to be that. That's not real.
Amen.
What is real? That person who brings the casserole. What's real is that phone call that you had picked up your phone and I was about to call you. And it was your name. That's a holy conversation that's about to take place. To remind each other, we're in this together. Living boldly is living in how Jesus is working with you, how the Holy Spirit is convicting you or comforting you. And here's where I'm going to tell you to be bold. Go be bold in mistakes. Fail miserably. I cannot tell you how much ministry dies on the table because it might not work. You'll never know if you don't put it out there.
Amen.
And there's also the trap of, well, we tried it and it didn't work. It didn't work then. Maybe we learned some things that are now. There is an opportunity to share. Oh, this world is all about success, and it loves to put it on the youth. Well, this person's 20 years old and has a fashion line. Awesome! But the 60-year-old who's sewing a new fashion trend is just as cool. There's not a time limit on making a difference. But that doesn't change that the gift is important. Being successful in the church isn't about how much money you raise, how many numbers, because in this world, we like the finite measurements. So that's why, oh, attendance is up. Oh, giving is up. That must be positive. But not if it's in a church that doesn't care. Not in a church that won't welcome everyone in the doors. This isn't supposed to be the elusive club where someone's got a clipboard and be like, I'm sorry, your giving was down last month. Maybe if you could come back with a check, okay? We'll get you a good pew, we promise. That's not how it should work in a church. We see someone coming through the doors, welcome.
Amen.
And you being here is enough. Please remember that. Sometimes that's your boldness. Now, this is going to come as maybe a contradictory thing, because I already told you, Corey's not here because he's at work. Maybe you turn down the job that makes you work on Sundays. I mean, I've tried, but they really have a problem with that. But maybe that's where you take your bold stand. For you, that might be it. For others, that's not the option. That's not where you have your gift then. Do you see that? Like, are we going to begrudge somebody who has to work on a Sunday? Oh, you just care about money. Not your calling? No. When we ask for somebody to come up and sing and you're like, really, that's just not me. I just can't do it. Okay. That's you and the Holy Spirit working. But never think just because what's being offered, well, God, none of my gifts are needed right now. No, you have extra homework. You have to go figure out what your gift is to give. Because God created you in such a wonderful way. And that you have something to give. So be bold in that giving. It might not be a ministry we have going right now. Maybe we have quilters or sewing who would love to start a quilting prayer quilt, prayer shawl. I know that has made difference in people's lives. That's a gift. Maybe it is feeding the hungry. Maybe it's visiting. If you are in doubt of what your gift is, I'd love to sit down with you and we can have a discussion. If God's waking you up at 2 a.m. every night and you're like, oh God, I don't think that you want me to do that. Oh God, I couldn't possibly do that. God, that doesn't even make sense. I really think on like the fourth time, maybe just do it so you can get a night's rest. Because if you fail miserably, you can at least go, God, I tried. And you know what God will say? Thank you. I wanted your obedience. I wanted your willingness. I don't measure success by how much money it brought in, how many people. Because if you change one, that comes from the stories, from your failures as well as your success. Be powerful and bold in your love. This world doesn't like to see that. Being kind and peaceful is not popular these days.
Amen.
But isn't that the radical way? Being bold in a world of chaos. And to be bold in your self-discipline. That's the talking with the Holy Spirit. That's the talking with Jesus. That's talking with God. What can I do? Not the books that are telling you, well, you have to get up at this time, you have to exercise this much, you should be eating kale at every meal, and then you should feel good about yourself and never, ever have any negativity. That's not Bible. I promise you, I see where Jesus gets a little irate. Amen. I see where the Pharisees tell Jesus, these are the rules you have to prescribe. And Jesus said, nuh-uh. Yes, these are good rules to follow. Keep the Sabbath holy? Absolutely. But if my donkey needs water, I'm giving my donkey water. If an orphan or a widow needs to be fed, I'm giving them the meal. Just because somebody interprets the rules one way doesn't mean that's the only way. Be bold in your faith. Be bold and sincere. And not afraid of a worldly mistake. Because God's calling you to a special place. And sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. But you're going to meet other uncomfortable people. And that's sometimes where we're going to find the growth. And there's sometimes God's going to call you in your specific strength. And you can be like, all right, God, let's go. But God just wants you to be bold in both, to be excited, even if you're nervous, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it means failure. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, let us be like Paul and greet each other with thanksgiving. Let us greet one another in love and compassion and in remembrance of the joy we have celebrated, the moments we have learned together. God, let us be bold in a world that looks for our demise, looks for us to fumble. And God, let us show the world that even when we fail, we are successful in your eyes. Because as long as our intention was to bring glory to you, there is nothing we can do to mess that up. Your message will still shine through. God, we thank you for the opportunity to serve one another and the unending love and grace and mercy you show upon us. In your precious and holy name, amen.